this morning, Colossians chapter 1. And I am going to try to... I usually have notes for 20 to 30 minutes. And I end up going a minimum of 62 minutes. I just don't understand why I can't stop around 45, 50 minutes and just have an ordinary message. So today, I have about 5 minutes worth of notes. And I'm going to try to make this a short message today because my wife is sick and the kids are all here. And so in Colossians chapter 1, notice down in verse 27, the apostle wrote, "To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." I want us to focus this morning a few minutes on the words "among the Gentiles." Among the Gentiles. That is an important phrase, and I'll tell you why. Because it is a dispensational phrase. It is a three words that let you know that something dispensational has taken place and has happened. Why is that? Because until the Apostle Paul, the only people who were blessed were Israel, were the Jews. And anybody else in the world who wanted to be blessed had to go through Israel. They had to become proselytes to Judaism. You see. Now, in Romans chapter 15, look at that verse quickly. Romans chapter 15. Notice that the Apostle Paul says in verse 8, Romans 15 and verse 8, "Now I say that Jesus Christ was," past tense, not now, not today, "was a minister of the circumcision," that's Israel, "for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers," which means in the days of his flesh that are recorded for us in the four Gospels, Jesus Christ was ministering to Israel alone. There were no Gentiles involved in the economy and in the blessing of Christ. Now, the greatest objection from people to that concept is, well, he went to the Gentile woman who came to him and the bread, the crumbs fell off the table. He blessed her, and the leaders of the soldiers, what do you call them? The centurion. He blessed the centurion. What about those two? They were Gentiles. Yes, they were. And that's what I want to look at this morning. Those two isolated events where Jesus Christ actually allowed a Gentile woman to come into his presence. And there are some very important things that happened in those narratives in the Bible that show us that they are not the norm, but they are the exclusion. They are not the normal thing that was going. And turn with me to Matthew chapter 15. And we'll take just a few moments this morning to look at these two isolated events and notice what happened when the Syrophoenician woman came to Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 15, verse 21. "Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coasts and cried unto him, having mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Now, this is the story where so many people object when we say that Jesus Christ ministered to Israel. And his purpose in coming into the world when he came was to establish the kingdom of Israel, and then through the rise of that kingdom, the Gentiles would be blessed. That's what the prophecies said he would do. That's what he came to do. But he came unto his own, and his own received him not. They rejected him. Now here you have a story of this woman coming out of the blue. Notice that he's in the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. That's Gentile territory. And behold, a woman of Canaan, verse 22, came out of the coast, of the same coasts, and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. Notice, but he answered her not a word. Now, has she been a daughter of Abraham? The woman with the issue of blood, who all she had to do was touch the hem of his garment and was made whole. This woman comes crying with a daughter, grievously vexed with a demon. He didn't even answer her. See, people forget about that. They forget he didn't even look at her. That's not all. And his disciples, verse 23, but he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away! Lord, get her out of here! They never mention that, do they? When they say he blessed a Gentile woman, they never say that. The disciples, first he doesn't answer her. Then the disciples say, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, this is declining here, number two. I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Not only does he not answer her, he says, I'm not sent to you. I'm sent to somebody else. Then she came and worshipped him. You know why? Because even in those days, Gentiles knew that if you were going to be blessed, you had to go through Israel to be blessed. They all knew that. There wasn't a Gentile in the land who was not aware of the fact that you had no economy with God, that you had no part in the religion of God unless you went through the tabernacle, through the altar, through the brazen laver, through the altar of incense, and then into the holy place. That's how you went to God. And it was through the priests, the Levites of Israel. They all knew that. That was common knowledge in those days. If you were not part of Israel, you were considered dogs, heathen, idolaters, unclean. That's what you were referred to. And then, notice after verse 24, he says, But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then she came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. Then notice the next thing he says, But he answered and said, It is not meet. It is not right to take the children's bread. What children? The children of Israel. It's not right to take their blessing and give it to a Gentile. It's not right to do that. I want you to notice, keep your finger here and turn to Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7. And here's this story again of this woman from Mark's perspective of coming to Christ to be blessed. Verse 24, and from thence, Mark 7:24 through 28. And from thence he arose and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon and entered into an house and would have no man know it, but he could not be hid. For a certain woman, that's the Syrophoenician woman of Canaan, whose young daughter had an unclean spirit, heard of him and came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation. Now Mark is specifying she has no right to Israel. She has no right to be blessed. Okay? And she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. But Jesus said unto her, let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it unto dogs. Now, notice he doesn't say in verse 27, let the children first be fed. He doesn't say let them be fed. He says let them be filled. Who? The children are Israel. Let the children first be filled before you get your blessing. Because your blessing will only come when the children of Israel are filled and they have risen to their prominent position under the headship of their Messiah. Let them first be filled. Then you'll get your blessing. But she besought him. And she besought him. And finally in Matthew chapter 15, but he answered, verse 26, it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. And what that is right there, that blessing, is a minute picture of a Gentile being blessed through Israel. But it's one isolated event. It's not the norm. You see? And then, another event. Okay, this is one event where a Gentile comes to Christ. One woman, and in Luke chapter 7, one man. And this story is just as interesting. Because remember that in those days, no Gentile was ever blessed unless he became a proselyte of Judaism. He had to convert to Judaism to be blessed. There was no other means of blessing in those days. Now here comes a man, and this is the centurion who has a servant. And Luke chapter 7, down to verse 9. Now when he had ended all his sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum, and a certain centurion's servant who was dear unto him was sick and ready to die. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this, for he loveth our nation, and he hath built us a synagogue. Then Jesus went with them, and when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. Wherefore, neither thou thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. For I also am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers, and I say unto one, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him, and turned him about, and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And they that were sent, returning to the house, found the servant whole that had been sick. Now, here's the story, and the story goes along these lines. Here is a man who is a Gentile. He knows he has nothing to do with Israel, and he says so. The first indication that we have that he recognizes that he's not worthy for the blessing is notice in verse 3. Well, let's read verse 2 and 3. And a certain centurion servant who was dear unto him was sick and ready to die. And when he heard of Jesus, notice what he did. He did not go himself to Christ. Notice, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. He doesn't go to Christ himself, although he's a man under authority and who has a lot of authority. He sends somebody else. He sends what? He sends a mediator for him. He sends a go-between between him and the Lord. Why? He knows he has no business there. Secondly, he also, down in verse 6 and 7, then Jesus went with them. And when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof, wherefore neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee. Now here is the perfect understanding of these two people being blessed by Christ. Neither of them were worthy. And that's brought out in the story. And their blessing is not the normal thing that's happening in those days. You have two isolated events only. These are the only two places in the Gospels where someone outside of Israel gets blessed. But notice something very special about this man. He's not any ordinary Gentile. No, and I'm not even referring to the centurion status. Notice in verse 4 and 5. And when they came to Jesus, that's the elders of the Jews that he sent, they besought him, Christ, instantly, saying that he was worthy. See, Israel's religion had to do with faith and works. This man had done something good to the nation Israel. The promise had been this: I will bless them that bless thee, I will curse them that curse you. Here is a man who blessed Israel. How? Verse 5. For he loveth our nation, and he hath built us a synagogue. Now this was no enemy to Israel. This was a friend to Israel. But still, in spite of what he had done for Israel and to Israel, recognized he was not qualified to go to Christ himself, nor did he consider himself worthy enough that the Lord should even come to his house. And the important thing in this story is this: Jesus Christ never went to his house. Never. The man was healed when the servants returned home, but Christ never went to his house. Now, this man did something for Israel. He built them a synagogue. God had told Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, I will bless them that bless thee, I will curse them that curseth thee. In that day, that verse was still in force, was still in full operation. Today, that verse of Genesis chapter 12 does not apply. The verse that I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee does not apply. Because in this day and age that you and I live in, there is no difference between Jews and Gentiles. For we are all one. In this day and age, either you are in Christ and a member of the body of Christ, or you are a heathen. It doesn't matter what nationality you come from. It doesn't matter if you're Mexican or German or Chinese or Jewish or French or you name it. It doesn't matter what. Either you are in Christ and a member of the body of Christ, or you are a heathen. There is no such thing as a favored nation in the day in which we live in now during the dispensation of grace. Today, in the dispensation of grace, there is a cross that where the blood of Christ was shed 2,000 years ago on Calvary's Hill. That cross is there for every person in this world without exception. All people are in need of that cross. And if you bypass that cross and try to go to God without the cross in this day and age, you trample the blood of Christ, because there is only one way of salvation today. There is one God, and there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. One God, one mediator, and it's Jesus Christ. You understand that there are only two groups of people today, for there is no difference. Look at Romans chapter 10. Romans 10. And verse 12. Notice the apostle says, well, look at verse 11. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For there is no difference. So what was spoken in Genesis chapter 12, which applied to the centurion because he built them a synagogue, Jesus Christ blessed him. And look back at Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7 in closing. Luke chapter 7 in closing. Verse 9 and 10. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him, at the centurion, and turned him about, and said unto the people that followed him. Jesus Christ turned himself about and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And they that were sent, returning to the house, found the servant whole that had been sick. That is, again, like the woman, the Syrophoenician woman, and the centurion, both had a miracle of healing in their family as a picture, as a foretaste of the millennial blessing when Christ is received as the Messiah of Israel, and then through Israel, the whole world will be blessed. Part of those blessings is there will be no sickness. That's a foretaste of it. Even the Gentiles in the millennial reign of Christ will be blessed. They will come to Jerusalem. Let's just look at one thing in Isaiah chapter 60 in closing. Isaiah chapter 60. This is the picture of the millennial reign of Christ, which he was to establish the first time he came. Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1 to 3. Arise, shine, for thy light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee, and the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. But you need to understand, Gentiles aren't coming to their light here. Gentiles are not coming to their light in the Gospels because the kingdom isn't set up yet. They haven't received their king. This only happens when Israel receives and acknowledges their king. But he came unto his own. His own received him not. See? And then look at Isaiah chapter 62. Isaiah 62, verses 1 to 3 or 4. For Zion's sake will I not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not rest, until the righteousness thereof go forth as brightness, and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth. You see, so for Jerusalem's sake, God says, I won't hold my peace until the righteousness goes from Jerusalem, and salvation goes from Jerusalem as a lamp that burns. In other words, that God's glory will be seen on that city in the millennial reign of Christ. But this is what Jesus Christ came to establish the first time. And then verse 2. And the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness, and all kings thy glory. And thou shalt be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name. Thou shalt also be a crown of glory. That's Israel. A crown of glory in the hand of the Lord. And a royal diadem in the hand of thy God. Thou shalt no more be termed forsaken. Neither shall thy land any more be termed desolate. But thou shalt be called Hephzibah. And thy land Beulah. Hephzibah means my delight. And Beulah means married. There shall be called Hephzibah, my delight, and your land will be married, for the Lord delighteth in thee, and thy land shall be married. And that's the promise of what will happen when the Messiah comes. But no Gentiles, you see. And I started this message this morning by saying, one of the greatest objections to understanding the Word of God rightly divided is that people say, well, Jesus Christ did minister to Gentiles, so you're wrong in saying that He did not minister to Gentiles and we weren't part of that economy in the Gospels. We're not part of the economy in the Gospels. That's why Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 10 said to His disciples when He's getting ready to commission them, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as ye go, say, preaching the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom is at hand. It's here. All you need to do is receive your Messiah. And here it is. But they didn't receive Him, did they? And then those two isolated events of a Gentile coming to Christ are not an excuse for us to deny that Christ ministered, was a minister of Israel, a minister of the circumcision. So in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 25, where Paul says that the mystery among the Gentiles, that is a dispensational phrase, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. Oh, all of a sudden, Gentiles are in. All of a sudden, it's no longer, don't go to the Gentiles. That's what Peter, James, and John, don't go to the Gentiles. Now Paul says, among the Gentiles, what happened? A dispensational change took place. Jesus Christ is no longer going to sit on the throne and rule over the nation Israel. Now He's in your heart, in your life. When you believe by faith, the Holy Spirit dwells in you. There is no visible kingdom in this world today. It is an invisible relationship that we have with God through faith in Jesus Christ. And it includes everyone, Jews, Gentiles, Spanish, you name it. Even young children. Even boys. Even little boys. Who believe that Jesus Christ died for them. even bigger little boys, and even smaller little boys. So anyway, I said I wanted to have a short message, and I just wanted to bring out those points to you, because two isolated events in the Gospels that have to do with the Gentile, you need to understand that they are isolated, and there are unique characteristics about them where, you know, you didn't answer her. No, you know, three negatives he gives her, and the disciples say, you know, get rid of her, Lord. Because they knew. They knew what the prophecy was. The prophecy was Israel first. The children must first be filled. And then we, the Gentiles, would be blessed through them. Now today, the world is being blessed through the Gentile church in spite of Israel. But one day, we'll be caught out of here. God will resume His dealings with Israel. And in the millennial reign of Christ, that prophetic program will be fulfilled. But today, all blessings flow through the church of Jesus Christ, through you, and the word of reconciliation, and the ministry of reconciliation that you were given in your commission by one Saul of Tarsus who became the Apostle Paul. He gave you your commission, and it's clear, and it includes every person in the world. Not one person is excluded. And it's simple, it's by faith. Just believe Christ died for you, you can be saved. What is more difficult than that? Simple. It's simple, isn't it? Let's pray. Lord, we're thankful for the truth of the Word of God that you don't need to preach forever to preach the everlasting gospel, although we don't preach the everlasting gospel of judgment today, but we preach the wonderful gospel of the grace of God. Pray that these simple little truths today will be part of our foundation in understanding the Word of God rightly divided, and why some Gentiles, two Gentiles in the life of Christ, were allowed to be blessed by the Messiah under strange and unique circumstances and conditions. And help us, Lord, to just understand those things, to not be deterred away from our understanding of God's Word rightly divided, and help us to grow, Lord, in our knowledge and in our understanding of where we fit into thy program in this day and age. And we'll thank thee for that blessing in that name that is above every name, the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.